On the outline, we had gotten down to the paragraph that's headed the various works of the Scriptures. When you talk to people in the world, they are taught that works have nothing to do with your salvation. We talked about in a previous class one of the classic verses they may be referred to prove that. Do you recall what verse that is? There's actually two that they would probably be referred to, but we talked about that in class. One is Romans 4. Romans chapter 4. You'll see in verse 4, to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, that is, as grace, but as what is due. To the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. So in the denominational world, we're studying denominationalism, baptism fits under which of those two words?
Works.
Under work. But the fact is it doesn't. God's plan, it fits under faith. But, and we looked at that in a previous lesson. But that's the argument that's made. So baptism is a work, therefore it has nothing to do with salvation. If you make it an essential, you nullify salvation by grace. The other passage is Ephesians 2:8-9. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. So that's why this part of this lesson is so critical, is to help people understand there are various works in the Scriptures. So we use an illustration over and over again in our Bible classes and our sermons that illustrates a word having various meanings. What's the illustration? That's right. What is the bus here?
Works.
And the word works has different passengers on the bus. That is, different meanings. That's all we mean by that. It's just like opening a dictionary. You look up the word church. What passengers might be on the bus? What definitions?
Some denomination.
Denomination?
Building?
People? Clergy? Those are all different definitions. And so, same as with the word works. If you look up works, you'll have different definitions. But we're interested in how it's used in Scriptures. So clearly we're going to see, we have seen that in Romans chapter 4 and in Ephesians chapter 2, the word works is used in such a way that if a person is saved by it, it nullifies grace. But look at Galatians 5:19. Same word. Is the works of Romans 4 and Ephesians 2 the works of Galatians 5:19? Is it the same word? I mean, is it the same meaning?
No.
No. How do you know it's not? I agree with you. Now, I want to know why you know the word works in Romans 4 does not carry the same meaning as the word works are deeds, Galatians 5:19, this version, the works of the flesh are the deeds of the flesh in the New American Standard. Why do you know that the word works in Galatians 5 does not carry the same meaning?
Because how it's defined in the context, how works is defined in the context of Romans versus how works is defined here.
Okay, that's exactly right. And what is it about the context of Romans 4 that shows the difference in the word works there and the word works here?
The works of the law.
Okay. The way in Galatians are qualities. In Romans, they're actions, things you do.
Well, they're not things you do in Galatians? Fornication? Look, in Romans 4, he's talking about works that men might rely on to do what?
Justified.
To be justified. Is there anybody that thinks the works of Galatians 5 would help you be justified?
No.
No. You know, you got immorality, you got idolatry, you got bitterness, you got every evil thing. As Keith said, the context. The works being discussed in Romans 4, whether you understand the passage or not, you know that he's talking about works that have to do with being saved, being justified. Clearly, this is different. These are works that clearly condemn. Clearly condemn. And so we know the word works here is used differently. But in the context, he further defines the word works here. He calls them the works of the flesh. In Jewish terminology, that would be significant as to the kind of works that are in view rather than the works of Romans chapter 4. And all we've demonstrated is, if you're talking to someone, all we're trying to show is you can't arbitrarily attach a meaning to the word works. You have to look at the context, as Keith pointed out. And so because you have the word works in Romans 4, you can't arbitrarily attach a meaning. So, Alex talked about the works of the law in Romans 4, which is correct. So, if you're studying Romans 4 with somebody, now, there's several ways you can do this. You can go further in chapter 4 and show that Abraham, for example, was justified by faith. But it says you got to walk in his steps, verse 12. Follow in his steps. So it doesn't mean Abraham didn't do anything. You follow in the steps of the faith of Abraham. But if I use a word that may have more than one meaning, and you want to be sure that you understand me, what's the best way to find out what I mean by that word? Context is right. Ask me. That's simple, isn't it? Let's ask Paul. So go to Romans 9. Now, you said context, which is correct. Context in Romans 9 is still talking about justification or salvation or being righteous. Over here, he's talking about being righteous in Romans 4. Righteousness. Romans 9, he's still talking about righteousness. You see that in verse 30 through 33. So the context of how do men who are not righteous become righteous in both passages. So over here, he talks about works. He says now, verse 32, that the Israelites or Jews were not righteous. They did not attain righteousness. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. So what does that tell you about the word works in this context? What does Paul mean by it? What kind of works? Just based on the context, what kind of works? What are these works void of?
Faith
in
Jesus.
That's right. Look, the next verse. They stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling." Did they believe in God?
Yes.
Yes. Did they believe in Jesus as the Son of God?
No.
No. That's the kind of work. Paul said, here, let me tell you what I'm talking about. So if there's more than one meaning or more than one pastor on the bus, ask Paul. And here he tells you what he means. And so that's a simple solution. And you can do the same thing with Ephesians 2. Who wrote Ephesians 2?
Paul.
Paul, same guy. And when you look at Ephesians 2, let's do something else with that passage. This is a classic passage. So he says, "You by grace you've been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." He's talking about when they were saved. Wouldn't it be great if we knew something about when they were saved and what happened? Maybe there would be a history book that we could discover. Somebody use the library very well. Maybe go find a history book about the Ephesians and find out when they were saved.
Acts.
We got our book. A history book. The book of Acts. Where do you read about the Ephesians being saved? Chapter 19. And what did this writer teach those people to do in Acts 19? First five verses. Be baptized in the name of Jesus. To take Ephesians 2, this writer, and act as if he indicated baptism had nothing to do with salvation, when these very people he taught and taught them they need to be baptized in the name of Jesus, and that it was so important, he baptized them again. Is to do injustice to the author, and is to violate the rule that James in Jerusalem appealed to when Scripture was presented or when facts were presented. What did James appeal to test the application of those facts? What did he say? With this, the words of the prophets do what? Agree. What's a synonym for agree?
Say the same thing.
Say the same thing or harmonize. So James appealed to the law of harmony. So somebody said, well, works here means that they didn't have to be baptized. Well, let's apply the law of harmony. Does that agree with Luke's account of what this man taught those people and what they did? Okay, so I was just reading as I was going back and restudying for the lesson. I went on the web to read what Baptists teach about baptism today. Essentially the same thing, although there are some Southern Baptist churches evidently that are allowing people to become members without baptism. That used to be a requirement. What Baptists teach, don't say Baptists do not teach baptism is essential. That's incorrect. They do teach baptism is essential because Christ commanded it. What they do not teach is that baptism is essential to salvation. But if you want to be a part of a Baptist church with full rights of membership, most, I don't know that all anymore, Baptist churches make baptism an essential. But what was interesting to me is I read this guy, and he's some high up in the Baptist denomination. He would write, good writer, but he'd stick in a verse. I knew enough about the verse to know the guy completely taking it out of context. But people read that, if they're not equipped to do what we're doing right here, they say, well, there it is. He's proven it. He writes it well. He's got some verses in there. But is he using verses that talk about the point he's making, and do they establish it? When Jesus asked the lawyer, when the lawyer said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? He asked him two questions. What was the first one? What? No, that's not the first question. What? Yeah, that's a paraphrase, but that's it. What is written in the law? Then the second question. So the second question is, how does it read to you? That demands what? Interpretation. Now, when the lawyer explained what it meant to him, was that his opinion? Sure. We make this arbitrary distinction between faith and opinion. Say, in faith we're unified, in opinion we're different. Look, that's an opinion about the second greatest commandment. And Jesus says, you're right. Opinion is just what you think about, how you view something. And so we do form opinions about what's written, how it applies to us. And the thing is, we got to be sure our opinions are correct. And you had a comment, Alex.
Well, when we were in a Baptist church, baptism is usually a class. It takes about 12 months to 14 months once you place membership. You actually have to go every week for classes for baptism.
That's interesting that Alex mentions that, because I remember reading when I was, again, going back doing some research for this lesson, they teach that the person being baptized has to be a proper candidate. And so that would go along with what his experience is in the Baptist church, that you have to be a proper candidate for baptism. And of course, Baptists do not teach that infant baptism. We'll get to that in our next lesson. Okay, so distinguishing the works. Now, there's other works that the Bible talks about. Luke 6:46, what was Jesus' challenge? Before you answer me, give me some synonyms for the word work or works.
Labor.
Labor.
Action.
Action.
Deed.
What?
Deed.
Deed. What you do. All of these are synonyms, aren't they? A work is something you do. It's a deed. It's an action. Now read Luke 6:46. What did Jesus say? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and what?
Not do not
do? Not
do,
what, I do? What I say? Is that not saying you need to work? That's work. You can't be a disciple of Jesus without works. That's what he said. They're works of obedience out of faith in Christ. You wouldn't do what he said unless you believed in him. But the claim is of faith, because they say, Lord, Lord. He's my Lord. He's great. But why don't you do what I say? Acts 2:37, what was the question? Once these people believed in Jesus, verse 36, what was their question? What must we do? In other words, what work must we perform? What action must we take? Isn't that it? And did Peter say nothing? Just believe, hold your hand up. Send in your prayer cloth, whatever. No. Here's what you got to do for the remission of sins. You're familiar with Romans 1:5 and the similar passage at the end of the book. Romans 1:5 and 16:26 talks about works of what?
Obedience.
Obedient works of faith. The obedience of faith. So here you got works that grow out of and display faith. But Romans 9, the works he's talking about, he said, I'm talking about works that are void of faith, that do not depend upon faith. In Galatians chapter 5, 6, what avails? What avails for God's grace and mercy?
Faith working through love.
Faith working. And when you look at that passage, he's talking about salvation by grace. You see in verse 4, you've been severed from Christ. You who are seeking to be justified by law, you've fallen from grace. We through the Spirit by faith are waiting for the hope of righteousness, the hope that is built upon righteousness, a righteousness that we can only attain by an obedient faith through the grace of God. And so then he says, in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith. And then there's that little word, working. Faith working through love. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, in verse 3, constantly bearing in mind your, here it is again, work of faith. You can't put work over in the closet and faith over in the living room as if they never met. In the Bible, they're joined together. Now in Romans 4, they're separated. Romans 9, they're separated. And so you can see in passage after passage that they're joined together, the work of faith. Right. Hebrews 11 is a good illustration. Now in Romans 4, 4 and 5, let's look at this little process of reasoning that sometimes that's going on in people's mind. You've got 2 points and a conclusion. This is the way we reason. We may not break it down this way, but this is the way we reason. Okay? Now what happens, oftentimes men want to start with the first point, jump down to the conclusion. Man is saved without works, therefore man is saved without baptism. And that middle line is the missing premise. That's not stated. But for the conclusion to be true, that middle line has to be true. It has to logically follow. It has to be requisite to the conclusion. So man is saved without works. Does Romans 4 teach that? What? I have yeses and noes.
Yes.
Well, let's look at it. Romans 4, 4. To the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but what is due to the one who does not work. So I'm going to ask again, does Romans 4 teach that man is saved without works?
Yes.
Y'all, is that a trick question?
Yes.
It's just based on what the text says. Is man saved without works? In Romans 4. Yes. Don't be afraid to say yes. Yes. Okay. Now here's the middle thing. Baptism is a work. Does Romans 4 say that? No. Does the Bible teach anywhere that baptism is a work?
No.
It doesn't?
No.
Define work for me.
Yes.
Something you do, an action, isn't it? Arise and be baptized. You're afraid of the conclusion before we got there. What's the problem with the conclusion? Therefore, man is saved without baptism. What's the problem in this reasoning?
Well,
What?
Two different kinds of words.
Yes. It's a play on the word. Switching terms. That's very common in quote-unquote logic. Switching meanings. You can't do that. The word work in the second line has to have the same meaning as the word works in the first line, and it does not. The word works in the first line means what?
Laboring for someone, for a wage.
Okay, for a wage.
Works that are you can boast about.
Works you can boast about and are void of?
Faith.
Faith. How do you know?
Romans
4 and Romans 9. It's Romans 9, not faith. That's the kind of works. Is baptism that kind of work?
No.
How do you know it's not?
Because it's based on faith in Jesus.
I agree. How do you know baptism is that kind of work, that you're saved by faith? You all know the answer to this. What's the Great Commission?
Mark 16, 15, 16.
He who has believed and been baptized. It's an act of faith. Matthew 19. Make disciples of who? Huh? I can't hear you. Make disciples of what person? What? All authority is given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples. Of who?
All the nations.
Of what? Okay, I see where my question is. Unclear question. My fault. A disciple is of what? Of who? Christ. Make disciples of me. And then baptize who?
Them.
Believers. Followers of me. And so clearly, baptism is not the kind of work in the first, as in the first line. Baptism is a work, but it's a work of faith. Not of works, Romans 4 and Ephesians 2, is works without faith. Here we illustrate it with this other. Kids have short tails. What I mean by kid?
Goat.
My child is a kid. Conclusion? Your child has a short tail. What have we done? Same thing, same mistake. We switch meanings of words. See? Kid has different meanings, different passengers on the bus. But the meaning in the first line is different from the meaning in the second line. Everybody can see that, I trust. Okay, so let's apply it further. Anyone who works, God owes. Somebody said a while ago, you earn it, I think, Alex, which is right. God owes them a reward. It's not a favor, but as of grace, but as what is due. Romans 4:4. That's what Romans 4:4 says. Baptism is a work. Therefore, anyone who is baptized, God owes a reward, and it's not of grace. Now, here are people who teach that baptism is not essential to salvation, will debate it, and yet say baptism is essential to obedience. Baptism is not essential to salvation because it's a work. But wait a minute. If it is, when you're baptized even later, if you're going to use Romans 4:4, what has happened? You've earned it. You've earned it. And all they can say, well, I don't mean that kind of works now. Yeah, agree. See? So, Acts 9:18, Paul was baptized. Was his salvation matter what is due? You say, he wasn't baptized to be saved. It doesn't make any difference. If it's this kind of works, then when he did it, then salvation was due. He earned it. And same thing in Galatians 3:27. You're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, for as many as have been baptized into Christ, put on Christ. So did God owe? Was it something the Galatians earned, this matter of salvation? Here's another illustration. Man is saved without works. Faith is a work. Does John 6, 28 and 29 say that? Yes. Therefore, man is saved without faith. See, that's not true. No, I agree. They wouldn't agree it's true, the conclusion. But the word work in John 6 has to be recognized that it's not the same as the word works in the first line. Now go over to John 6, just a little wrinkle here that I want you to just be aware of in case you're talking to someone about this. So I'm on the other side of the fence. I'm the denominationalist you're talking to. You're trying to show me that I'm misunderstanding the word works, and so you say, look, you say, man, there's no works man do to be saved. Yes, that's what our Bible teaches. So you turn me over to John 6, 28, 29, and I read it. What shall we do so that we may work the works of God? This is the work of God, that you believe in Him and He has sent. My response, see, you Campbellites are blind. This is not a work you do. This is the work God does. Look at it. It's the work of God. God implants faith. It's not something you do. That's right. What shall... Look at the question, 28. What shall we do that we may work the works of God? Now, if he's teaching Calvinism, that there's nothing you do, why this big sermon? Forget it. Got to wait for the Holy Spirit to implant that faith above and beyond their will. This is what do we do. This is the work of God, the one God appointed. Remember, we talked about of as the genitive case. And it has a variety of meanings. It can be the work God does, but it also can be the work God appointed or authorized for you to do. That's the idea. So you may run across that. I don't know. Probably all you would run across is you believe your way and I believe mine. But anyway, you need to be assured of what's right. So I have here on that paragraph, when explaining Article 9 of the Methodist Discipline, Mr. Wheeler refers to Romans 3, 24 through 28. And he points out that works here refers not merely to the requirements of the Mosaic ritual, but to every kind of work of body or mind or penitence or piety by which we assume to merit salvation or compensate God for any favor he bestows. And I just put exactly, he's right on target. The problem is, he doesn't recognize that work, baptism, is not that kind of work. And so in the Methodist Discipline, Article 9 says faith only, most wholesome doctrine full of good comfort. And by that they mean it does not include baptism. Okay, so grace and works in salvation. I trust this class is real familiar with the three points that I have there, so we'll just mention them. We'll not go into detail with it. Was Noah saved by grace? Genesis 6:8 says yes. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Was Noah saved by faith? Hebrews 11:7, by faith Noah prepared an ark. Was Noah saved by works? He prepared an ark. Yes. So he was saved by grace, he was saved by faith, he was saved by works. You take just one out of the equation, he wouldn't have been saved. Same thing with Abraham. Was Abraham saved by grace? Romans 4 says he was. Was he saved by faith? Romans 4 says he was. Was he saved by works? Romans 4:12 says he was. And Hebrews 11:8-17 says he was. So was Noah saved by works? Yes. Was he saved by grace? Yes. Was he saved by faith? Yes. And then the same application can be made to us. Are we saved by grace? Yes. Are we saved by faith? Absolutely. Are we saved by works of obedience? Growing out of that faith, certainly. And then this last point on the outline, Christians, even after baptism, are saved by grace through faith that works. We just read that in Galatians 5:6. Faith working through love. Later in that same chapter, chapter 5:13, he talked to them about the conduct and attitudes they must have. Calls it the following the Spirit versus the flesh. And so there again, obedience. All right, we've discussed already questions 2, 3, and 5. So, and question 1, also 1, 2, 3, and 5. Question 4, I think, is pretty clear. You tell me what's wrong with that question number 4. What's wrong with that? The tops are made to spin on the floor. The glass lid to this pot is a top. Therefore, this glass lid was made to spin on the floor.
Two words have completely different meanings.
The same word with two different meanings. That's right, the word top. Switch meanings, see? That's what happens with the word works. We see it on other areas. Why can't we see it, get our friends to see it in the word in religion? And then question number 6. If people who have already been saved, we just answered that on our outline. Are people who have already been saved still being saved by faith? And what verses would you use to show that they are? Let's start with the verse that's often used to teach salvation by faith alone. What is that one?
John 3:16.
How does it show that people who are saved by faith are still being saved by faith the rest of their lives? Based on John 3:16. Right. Believe eth. If you're using the King James, New American Standard has the word believes with an S, which connotes what Doug said. It's continuing action. It's not believed with a D. You keep on believing. If you're saved today, you're saved the same way. It's just at this point, there's something different you do. You don't have to be baptized every time you sin. Why did God make baptism the initial requirement to get into a relationship with Christ, but not a requirement if you later sin or even apostatize? Why did He not make baptism a requisite then? I know it's about the death, burial, and resurrection, but why did He make it a requisite for those who fall away or sin? Well, He cleanses us in baptism. Why don't you have to be baptized? The first time He cleanses us in His blood when you're baptized. Why didn't He make us be baptized again?
But you remember the family, so then you have a different relationship with Jesus Christ after you remember the family.
Yeah, but you fell out of faith. You become apostate. Now you want to get back into relationship. First time you got in the relationship, you had to be baptized. Why didn't He make that a requisite to get back into the relationship?
Jesus.
What?
Jesus.
Here's the answer. You don't know. Period.
He said to do something else.
That's it. He didn't say to be baptized again. I don't know why. Why did He tell you to be baptized the first time? I don't know. Don't be afraid of I don't know. Just say what the Bible says.
But
I don't know. But wait a half. What if you're going to be apostate? What if you're apostate? Are you still a member of the family?
No.
Are you?
Not until you repent.
No. You're gone. You're out of the church. He cut you off. Now you want to establish a relationship again. Why don't you have to be baptized?
Christ died once for all time.
So? I don't know why. That's just the way it is. Period. Okay, our time's up. All right, we'll pick up on the next lesson, lesson 14, our next class. Thank you.